time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And it is a good Tuesday afternoon if you're a penguin, other than that, you know.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It's cold and damp and stuff. Penguins love that kind of thing. Well, it'll be freezing water, and they're swimming around saying, oh, man, having a good time. So it's great penguin weather. Yeah.
Well, fortunately for my wife and I, we had very nice weather, except for about a day and a half in New England, going around New England.
Well, luckily, though, you had scheduled the yodeling.
Oh, yes. Isn't that amazing?
What an amazing thing.
And I just got in last night. We both got in last night, and so
I'm glad you brought it back with you.
Thursday. And so I'm a little tired. I'm not prepared to give you a yodeling report. I will next week.
Well, okay? you didn't have time to arrange all your notes.
I think half the show will be next week on yodeling.
Oh, Lord. That's something to look forward to.
I'll edit it down to just a few minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Because right now it would be half hour.
Right, that's why you have to really go over your notes strongly.
But I tell you, the yodeling is excellent up there, and echo off the Appalachian Mountains. And
you've never heard me yodel.
And I don't want you
to. I've yodeled many times when I've stubbed my toe.
That's not yodeling. That's agony. Well, some people think yoga. No, never mind. Yeah. But boy, the maple syrup up there, in the Vermont.
Put that on your lobster.
No. We had lobster in Massachusetts and Maine.
Who had better lobsters?
I had the best lobster roll in Hyannis, Massachusetts, off the beaten path.
Okay.
And, no, it wasn't there. Anyway, it was a place in Massachusetts. Just off the side, and they had a little restaurant there. And, oh, exquisite. Absolutely exquisite. If you love lobster, that's just, I can't believe how expensive it is, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like gold.
Well.
But you eat it.
That's the
difference. You don't eat gold.
No, well, you can.
You can, but you don't want to dig it out.
Not much nutrition in that, yeah.
And digging it out is bad, too. Anyway. And lobster bisque and clam chowder and seafood chowder. I ate everything.
That you can't get. You can't really eat here.
Tell you, talk about seafood diet. That's what I had. I ate everything I saw.
You ate, yeah.
So, and the maple. We went to a place where they had these gigantic pancakes, and they put real maple syrup on it. Oh! It takes like 50 gallons of sap to make a gallon of, I'm guessing. I know that they told us, but it takes a lot of sap to make the syrup.
No, I was right here.
Yeah. Well, it takes 50 saps to make a gallon. So, had a good time, and a lighthouse. I mean, they did a nice job this tour. So, but I'm tired. So I'm just going to let you talk.
Okay.
No, I can't.
I was going to say, that would be a first.
But I'm not prepared
that'd be
as
a first.
Much as...
You know, and the sad thing is we have to film this or record this on Monday because I won't be available Tuesday. But, with the guards who made up to game 5. And a lot of people didn't even think they were going to come near the playoff. If anything, maybe a wild card. Yeah. There were no wild cards in our division.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and they're playing the same way they played all year long.
That's right. Small ball. But I'm wearing my Guardians cap instead of my captain's cap. By the way, I know you're worried about this, but the nuclear-powered pontoon boat has been stored.
I was going to say, you told me you were going to.
Yeah, in a secret location.
Right, right.
Off of 224 in a big, big building.
Well, don't tell me you'd have to kill me.
I would. Yeah. I saw one of your stints. skits, I'm sorry. Yeah, stints. You did a stint in prison. But Skits.
And I swear the joke really wasn't that bad to put me in prison.
No.
It was theft of a joke.
Yes.
An attempted humor. That's why they arrested me.
Well, I would be in jail, too, with all these stupid puns I've been coming up with. And I got a bad one today, too. Anyway, so it's in a secret location off 224 in a huge building. Guarded 24/7 by a squad of Navy SEALs.
Okay.
And it's always on the ready in case I'm needed.
Is that, are they related to the Christmas SEALs?
I think so.
Okay. I just made sure.
So that's a big burden off my chest.
Yeah.
That thing stored. And
I mean, you probably couldn't have left town with it not stored at this point.
Oh, no, I couldn't. Yeah. But I got it done.
Yeah.
Just in the next. Well,
since we started talking about the guards.
Okay. One more thing. And I did accomplish it. I've been all over the world with my nuclear power.
Yeah.
But I floated above a lot of places, never been in it. But on this trip, I accomplished going to the last two states that I haven't been to, Rhode Island and Maine. So I have now.
Did you notice if you sneeze through Rhode Island, you miss it, don't you?
It's small. You can be in any of those. I tell you what, they're all compact around there. You're in a state and you go. There's places where you cross a bridge and you're in another state, and it's very small. But Rhode Island, very nice. We went to Newport and everything. But anyway, what was I saying? I made it all 50 states. Yes. And I told the tour director that, once I get in Maine. So she told everybody, we crossed into Maine, and everybody applauded me.
Really? Just for surviving 50 states?
Yeah. I didn't want that attention.
Sure you do.
No, I don't. I don't yearn for that. I'm not like you. So go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, are we back at the sports now?
Oh, I don't know. I do want to say that on the night that the evening, that game against Tampa, the game number two.
Okay.
I think that was on a Saturday. Was that on a Saturday?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I had to listen to it. I plugged my phone in because it's dying. The battery's dying. I got to get a new battery for it. Or a new phone. But new phones are like $500.
Depending on the kind of phone, yeah.
Yeah, geez. So I can get a new battery for it, right? I mean.
You should be able to, yeah.
Yeah, for $50.
If you're lucky, yeah.
If you're lucky. So, but anyway, getting back. I was able to listen to it in and out of Wi-Fi or cell range, and they were tied. It was like the 15th inning?
15th inning. Here comes SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, SpongeBob gets up, and he's up, and it cuts out on me.
Oh, no!
And the next thing, when I got covered, Tom Hamilton's going nuts. I said, what happened? And he hit a home run. I listened to that game for like 5 hours. And at the very end, I was happy, of course, but
right. But disappointed that you didn't get to hear the call.
Yeah. Well, I've heard the call since.
Sure.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Wasn't his? I think that one by Jason Giambi when they had to win the 10 games in a row to get in the playoffs, and mm-hmm. Jason Giambi came up, pinch hit, and hit the home run to win the game or something like that. That I think it was his best call. Tom Hamilton we're talking about. So I was, fortunately, being on national TV, I got to see the game. So we don't know the outcome in the game number five.
Yep. Here's an interesting quote that was today's Beacon. It says, regardless of what happens or how or when the Guardians postseason run ends, whether it's Monday in New York, if game five is necessary, which it is, or not until the final out of the World Series has been recorded. None of it will be because the Guardians couldn't handle the moment.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I don't know who wrote that, but I completely agree.
I think this was, who was this?
Is that Ryan Lewis?
Yes, Ryan Lewis. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Remarkable season. Remarkable manager. They ran into Garrett Cole yesterday, the New York Yankees ace pitcher.
That beat us. The other win that they had, yeah.
Now, tonight's game will be, and by the time our the show is on, we'll know. You'll know what the score is. But tonight's game is going to be a bullpen game.
Essentially, but, yeah, for both.
So we got Aaron Savali.
Because I guess Bieber was just begging.
And Terry Francona says,
said,
no,
absolutely not. No.
You're a young man. You got your whole career.
I'm not going to risk your career, is what he said.
Yeah, and you can blow a shoulder out or an elbow and have Tommy John if you're overused.
Yeah, and a lot of this comes from the problem of not having the Thursday game. Having to go to Friday.
Yeah, I was
in that. And that was odd because.
I was in that weather, too. I mean, that's what hit New England.
It was odd because they called the game like 5 or 6 hours before game time.
I guess the forecast, it did come down in torrents.
Okay.
It didn't hurt our trip too much. It actually added to it, and I'll tell you why. We went to a place.
Because you brought your swim trunks.
No.
Oh, okay.
We went to a place in New Hampshire. And no, was it? I don't know. I forget. But anyway, the rains hit those mountains to come down in torrents, right? And we got to see a rapid I've never seen before. It was fabulous because of all the rain.
Because
of
all the rain, yeah.
It was phenomenal. I can see how flash flooding can just destroy people and their home. And the awesome power of all that water is just amazing.
That may be some of the most powerful force of Mother Nature is running water.
Yeah. Oh, this was coming down 30, 40 miles an hour. Oh. And if you would have gotten into that, you'd be in the ocean by the time they find you.
Yeah.
Wherever that went. But so I guess that's, they just forecasted that it would be too wet for the game.
Well, but that is to our advantage as a bullpen game, because our bullpen is certainly stronger than their bullpen.
Yes. Well, Savali, he's going to lead it off. They want 3 or 4 innings from him.
Because technically he's a starter. He has been a starter.
He's a starter. And we haven't pitched bad. I mean, we ran into Garrett Cole yesterday. He is the 30-some million-dollar pitcher a year. $30 million the Yankees pay this guy for games just like that.
Yes.
And we could have had more runs, but unfortunately Jose Ramirez ran out of the inning, and
you don't see him poor base running that often.
That was a poor base running decision. He just was aggressive.
It was like, but the game before,
it worked out.
You had the Yankee who thought he hit a home run, and it wasn't a home run.
Yeah.
and got caught in a rundown.
Yeah. So, I missed that coffee. Oh, not much, but I did miss it.
But you did miss it. Yeah.
Yeah, so he made that out, and Rosario was on base, so if he could have scored if they didn't tag him out. But anyway, the guy makes 30. I did some rough math for every averaging about 100 pitches a game for 40 games. Let's say he pitches 40 games a year.
Okay,
makes $7,500 every pitch. Every pitch he makes in a game, he gets $7,500. Isn't that something?
I hope he can live on that. Feed his family, you know.
Well, that's why they pay him the big bucks. Because if he didn't perform yesterday or Sunday, the Yankees would have been up. I don't know what the odds are today, but they're playing at home, the Yankees, and they're absolutely right. If Ryan Lewis is absolutely right, if the game ends, the season ends Monday night, it is a spectacular success. Nobody had this team going as far as they did.
No.
Not even winning the division. Maybe an outside chance of being a wild card. No wild cards are left in the American League.
No.
National League, that's all that's left. Because the Dodgers got beat by San Diego. They were ahead of them by 22 games at the end of the season.
Yeah.
22 games. And they got beat by the Padres. I wish if I had my team to play in the World Series, if we ever make it that far, maybe we will. The Padres is the team. Because we played them, really. We beat them 2 games at their place.
Yeah.
And the Phillies, right? The Phillies are the Mets are out. They had a tremendous season too. Atlanta's gone.
Yeah.
And the defending World Series champions are not in the World Series. So we're going to have a new champion in baseball. But yes, I think I got a good feeling.
You know, I do because again, being a it's a bullpen game for both teams.
Yeah.
Because of that rain, it hurt New York just as much as it hurt us.
Yeah.
And our bullpen is more substantial than their bullpen. And all you got to do is keep them from hitting those dang on home runs. Because almost every run they've scored has been through home runs. Not all of them, but almost all.
Well, they're all of them. They're the big ball team. They pay these guys a lot of money to hit home runs. But by and large, they have tamed Aaron Judge.
He had one hit and one home run.
Yeah.
And he struck out six or seven times.
Yes.
In this series. But again, a home run hitter strikes out a lot usually.
Yeah, that's right. But he carried that team into winning their division when they were slumping a little bit. But the Yankees, we've given them, I don't think they gave us any thought. They didn't give the Guardians.
We got the Guardians. We'll get this in three games.
But the game, Saturday, when we came from behind to win that.
In the ninth inning.
What a game that was, wasn't it? Wow.
Good old Oscar.
Oscar Gonzalez, SpongeBob himself.
Yes.
Do you see some of the outfits that the fans were making, wearing the SpongeBob?
No, I didn't see it.
The SpongeBob, they made ponchos. And yellow ponchos, and they put SpongeBob on them. And so he's become kind of a local hero. He's won three games. He's basically helped win three games in the playoffs.
Right. And here's what Ahmad Rosario said. Actually, I was sitting next to Oscar. We were talking. Now, this is from the Saturday game. We were talking. Ahmad Rosario threw a team and translator. Actually, before it happened, we talked about it. It's a crazy thing. We talked about if Straw gets on base, we'll get this game turned around. I was telling Gonzalez, we're going to load all the bases, and then we're going to win the game. He says, no, I'm going to finish the game. I'm going to win the game. Then he went on and hit that single, which won the game.
He, we are so fortunate not to have lost him to the the Rule 5?
I think it's Rule 5
draft. Yeah. If it wasn't for the pandemic, we would have, because they suspended the Rule 5 draft. Rule 5 is you can't keep a prospect on your 40-man roster or off the 40-man
off
roster
the force, right.
For a period of time, or he's eligible to be drafted by another team to give the guy a chance to
play. They have to put him on their 40-man roster.
Yes. And I think they have to put them on the team, the 25-man or 26-man team.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it wasn't for the pandemic, we could have lost Oscar Gonzalez, who's going to be our right fielder for the foreseeable future. I mean, I think so. And you got Straw, great center fielder. I mean, defensively, he's a great center fielder.
Yes.
And you've got
Kwan
in left field. I mean, you got your left. I mean, we were wondering what in the world our outfield was going to look like at the beginning of the season.
And it was different than what it is now.
Oh, much different.
Because you still had Bradley Zimmer, and you had two other guys that
Bradley
aren't even
who?
With the team anymore. Two other guys who aren't
who
even
else?
With the team anymore.
Oh, yeah, we don't even – I forgot. I think Bradley Zimmer was designated for assignment.
Picked him up. Somebody did pick him up. So he was designated for assignment. Somebody picked him up.
Toronto.
Okay.
And they designated him for assignment.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so he's out of, you know, he's looking for a job. And what a huge disappointment that kid has been. But he got hurt.
The fact is, he was too good for minor league and probably wasn't quite good enough for major league.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be a major prospect for the, Indians at the time.
Yeah.
But, so we have our center, our field, and you have other guys.
And you got Oscar, who's got the possible power.
Yes, he's
and then you got Kwan, who really isn't a power guy, although he did hit a home run.
But he is
he was up a couple times afterwards, but one stat that came across the TV on Sunday night was that in 117 pitches he'd been thrown in the World Series.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs. I mean, sorry.
We haven't made it there yet.
Yeah. But in the playoffs,
are you clairvoyant?
I could be. If they go there, I am. If they don't, then I got a bad message. Yeah. But he only missed the ball twice. I'm not talking about striking out twice. I'm talking about missed the ball. Either it was a ball or he hit it foul.
Yeah.
And twice out of 117 pitches and a rookie.
Yeah. He's and his swing. I mean, he's got a nice swing in that he covers the plate coverage of his bat is what I watch for. He lifts that leg up and he sees the ball obviously tremendously well. Yeah. And people say, "Well, what difference does it make if he takes all these pitch count?"
Right.
Pitch count. The pitcher has only about 100 pitch a starter. Has only about 100 pitches a game before they pull him. So if he eats 8, 9, 10 pitches, that's 10% of what the pitcher's going to throw that particular game.
Right, but not only that, not only does he get a good eye at what the pitcher throws, so does the rest of the team. They're sitting there in dugout. When he's up there, everybody's watching the at-bat because they know he's going to get a lot of pitches thrown to him, and they get to see all the different kind of stuff that's coming his way.
That's right. And then you got your infield that looks like it's pretty well set, except for first base. You've got...
We got Josh Naylor.
Josh Naylor.
He's DHing right now.
Because of his ankle. But they use Arias in there, too. And he's done a decent job. But right now, we got second base with Jimenez. And then you got Rosario at short and Jose at third. And the catching, you're going to have Bo Naylor is your future catcher.
Yeah.
They'll probably keep, I think, of the two catchers, they'll probably keep I'm tired.
Yeah, I feel that.
Naylor's right now, I'm drawing a blank, huh?
Maley?
Maley is probably the guy that goes.
Goes, okay.
Yeah, and the other one, the guy...
It starts with an H.
H.
It starts with an H. And it's not Hernandez.
No, it's not Hernandez. Oh, my goodness. I can't think of it. I'm sorry. I can't think of the name. But he's a tremendous defensive catcher.
Yes.
So he may end up being the back. He was the backup last year.
But again, every catcher we have is worth something because they have... Sandy Alomar working with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and not only was he a great catcher on his own, he's obviously a great coach at it.
Oh,
yeah. Because every catcher we have, we can trade off to somebody for something if we have to.
The catcher that I can't think of his name is, I've seen him use his shoulder to block the ball and keep it in front of them with men on base.
Hector or something like that.
Huh?
Hector or something like that.
It'll come to me after the show. It'll come.
Don't you have box scores there?
No,
I
don't. It'll come to me.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you would come up with it so I can say I already knew it.
I have to cheat now. We have to cheat. Oh, get over
here. Lou Maley is the backup. And they take, and our existing catcher is, If I hadn't been so tired, I would have known here. It's going to come to me. I know it's going to come to me.
It's going to come to you. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's just not coming very fast. Come on. Yeah. Come on. You can do this.
Yeah.
Oh, good. The internet's locked up.
Huh?
The internet's locked up.
Jeez. Oh, what's the guy's name? Let's see if I got... they don't put box scores in here anymore.
You got to go to the extras.
Oh, I got it. Hedges.
Hedges. I said it was an H.
Yeah.
It wasn't Hector, though. Hedges, yes.
It was Hector. It was Hedges, for goodness sakes. And... well, Hedges is a good defensive catcher. Can't remember his name. But so I think in the future, he'll stay with the team. But Bo Naylor, who can hit better, will probably end up down the road.
Interesting thing, again, in this series so far. With his walk-off single Saturday night, Gonzalez, that's Oscar Gonzalez we were talking about, is now tied with five others for the most career go-ahead hits in the ninth inning or later in postseason history, along with Pete Rose, David Ortiz, a big poppy, J.D. Drew, Carlos Correa, and Cody Bellinger. But Pete Rose and Dave and the Big Poppy, he's tied with them. And he's only had...
He's a rookie.
One, two, three, four, five, six games?
Yeah.
And he's tied with those guys.
I know. Well, actually, yeah, that's right. Six games, you're right. Two with Tampa and four with the Yankees, so... And I like that optimism of his. I mean, that's that just shows me he's
something he's, like, you know, he's a big guy, but he's a kid inside.
I was afraid, of course, the pucker factor of playing New York in a playoff. I would think would have made some of these players very, very tight, but it doesn't appear that that's the case at all.
Yeah. He says, I go to the plate singing the song, which is the SpongeBob song, because I have a big body, but deep inside I feel like a kid.
And that's he's going to keep that the rest of his career. I mean, it's become a marketing thing.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, I saw people on Sunday night wearing all kinds of SpongeBob paraphernalia. So I just think the kid is a breath of fresh air. He really
is.
And
it's like the first time, like in his first game, and he had that error where he caught the ball.
Oh yeah.
But he threw it up into the fans because he thought it was the third out, and the look on his face when he realized there were, and he Strauss said, "There's only two."
Yeah. So it's a good team to watch, and
I'll never forget what Frank Cota said when he comes in. I've been a while since I've been to the minor leagues. They still have three outs in an inning. And he was joking with him. Yeah. I mean, and letting him know, you know, he's not beating him up for it. Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, I think Jose Ramirez talked to him in Spanish.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
And he's the team leader. I think he speaks enough English that he can chew out a English guy too. I mean,
I'm sure he does. He always uses a translator when they're talking.
I think he's just more comfortable that his English isn't good enough to be interview, but you have to be able to communicate with your catchers
and your coach.
And your coach.
And
so.
Your and Terry Francona, you know.
It's just been a fun, fun season, and I really can't believe that they're in it. I said, here I am sitting in a tour bus of New England. I really want to be home.
And they double-crossed you.
They double-crossed me. And I was afraid of Tampa. I really was. They're a good team.
But we played Tampa well this year.
Yes, we did.
I mean, our teams are very equal in style and pitching
structure
and hitting
market.
And structure and market and everything.
Yeah. And they have just the future is very promising for the next few years before they all gain seniority and are looking for the big bucks, because we're not going to be able to keep all these guys.
No.
I mean,
but enjoy it while we have it.
Yeah. Well, Straw's locked up, but Straw's not going to give you offense. Kwan we got for another 5 years. He's just a rookie. And so we have Oscar, too.
And they're young rookies, so it's not like they were 4 years in the minors before they came up. And
the thing is, there's such... I mean, Jose Ramirez loves this team so much that he was willing to probably leave $40 to $50 million off the table. I mean, he says, I love the game, and money isn't everything. What a breath of fresh air, right? I mean,
yeah. And we always talk about, you know, and those numbers mean nothing to us.
Oh, no.
They're
no,
numbers.
No. Oh, there you go.
But still, it's not money in our pockets.
Yeah.
And when we've said, how much do you really need? You know, he thought about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have enough.
It also stems from the manager himself. He says, I don't need much. All I want to do is, he makes like $4 or $5 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a top manager.
He's a top manager. And I think, I don't know how much managers make, like in New York and elsewhere. He says, I make plenty. All I want to do is
He probably made more in Boston than what he's making
here. And that was know, a long time
ago. That was 11 years ago. Yeah.
And he's still revered by a lot of Boston. I said, why did they, I was in Boston and they see my guardian set. They start talking to me. He said, we should have never gotten rid of him. Well, at the time you wanted to when you didn't, he got a World Series for you out of all those years.
I know. He's the one that broke the curse.
He broke the curse.
The curse of the Bambino.
I hope he breaks the curse of 1948, when you were still, you were there.
I was a youth. I was a youth. I was a youth.
You were at the game, weren't you, in the 48 World
No, Tournament? I couldn't sneak in.
All right. Anyway, 1974 years ago.
I mean, tickets cost $250 back then for the World Series.
Yeah, I know. So yeah. I was looking at prices for the league championship series. The cheapest is $150 in the nosebleeds. If they can get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're selling tickets for the league championship series starting next Saturday.
It should be Houston, the boy.
Oh, yeah. They're a team to beat. They really are. They're loaded. They got Verlander. They got great pitching, great hitting.
And they have Dusty Baker, who I really respect.
Yeah, well, they...
They needed to do... They had
cheaters.
To get him.
They have been
cheaters, yeah.
And they're... Nobody's rooting for them except the Houston fans.
Yeah.
So...
But Houston's like the fourth largest...
When the Guardians play them...
Yeah.
They'll have the nation behind them.
I think they will. Yeah.
They really will. I mean, nobody likes Houston. And...
Including a lot of baseball teams.
Yeah,
because they cheated on them.
They cheat. So... I think we're the Cinderella team that the country will get behind, but we got to win.
We got to beat the David and Goliath, the game for the
and
ages.
Those fans are obnoxious too. They're not. They're
They got a couple of plays that don't go their way, and they start yelling.
Well, what happened back in April when?
Oh yeah.
When Kwan got hurt, people were making Asian slurs at him.
Yeah. And you should have seen Strong go up.
Yeah,
he went and crawled the wall.
Strong went up there to get him. He wanted to protect his teammate. And they're still booing him. 4 months later, the Yankee fans.
Are booing Straw?
Straw. He gets up by bed and you hear the boos.
Because
he defended
his teammate.
His teammate. And kudos to him. For doing that.
My son feels that was really one of the things that... really started bringing that team together when he did that in New York.
Yeah.
You know, they were growing together and this and that. But when he climbed that wall in New York to defend Kwan, the whole team took it to heart.
That's right. That's the chemistry is tremendous, at least from our observation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, heaven help somebody who doesn't hustle and have to go back and have Jose Ramirez in your face.
And he probably won't be the only one, but he is the team leader.
Now, you know, Bob Costa and Ron Darling are doing the games for TBS.
TBS, yeah.
I like Bob Costa, but some people on the radio say he's so pro-New York. I haven't gotten that feeling, have you?
I think I have in the past, but I certainly haven't in this.
He's good. He really is. I mean,
Bob Costa is another guy that can do any sport.
Yes.
And sound intelligent doing it.
Well, he's getting up there, but he's still...
I thought he retired, but he was with NBC.
Now
he's with TBS, so he may be retired, but he came out, they paid him enough money, said, okay, I can do a series.
And he's done a good job, I think.
I think so, too.
I think he's been balanced.
I've always liked Bob Costas, yeah.
That's how he mentioned the fact about the Straw incident back
in
April and why the fans are booing. And Ron Darling is excellent, former pitcher, Hall of Famer. And I don't know who Fox has now. I really don't.
On Fox Sports 1.
Yeah,
I don't know who's there because that's been the National League. So I haven't paid attention to that.
And, you know, Joe Buck went over to ESPN. I don't think they have the World Series, do they?
No. I think Fox has the World Series.
Yeah, so the Fox will be on regular Channel 8.
One thing is so frustrating? I missed watching the game. It had to be Friday's game. I couldn't find it anywhere. If you don't have a certain type of streaming service, you couldn't get. Now, what I didn't realize, I kept going to TBS because I thought that's where it was.
Yeah.
But that's where Seattle Houston was, and they went 19 innings,
that's
which
right.
is probably why. So they shifted it over, which I didn't know,
to TNT.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to watch the game, but so but all it proves is if you don't have a streaming service for the playoffs, you can't watch any of the playoffs. And thank God, you know, we got Tom Hamilton
on the radio.
On the radio, and that's what I did. I was having some trouble with some reception, so I kept the game on there, flipping back and forth, you know, to get the reception in right. But I had Tom Hamilton on the whole time.
The station out of Worcester, 104.5, is a strong station.
Yeah,
and that's who I normally get the Guardians games from. And
when you're here, yeah.
When I'm here, yeah, on radio.
Because on
or 1590, but at night they reduce their power or something. I don't know what they do. But normally that's who I listen to the radio.
Yeah,
because they three or
WTAM.
Yeah, or yeah, 11.
I almost said WWE.
I almost. Hey.
It's been a couple of years. But WTM was actually its original call letters. Then in the 80s, they went to 3WE, and then they went back to the original call letters of WTAM.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where all – I mean, I heard stories about, like, P. Franklin and those
guys. Oh, yeah.
Guys. They were on the 50,000 watts, they covered half of Canada and most of the U.S.
Three quarters of the U.S. Yeah, but not so much here.
No. So, and I think WAKR has an FM station, too.
They do. They do.
It's a low-powered one.
It's a low-power, yeah.
So, anyway, we and I buy the streaming. It's $2.50 for the audio streaming, so I know that if I'm out of town, I can get the audio.
Okay. $2.50 a game?
A month.
Okay.
A month, yeah.
Okay.
So $2.50 a month. So
that's
if you're
not bad.
That's what I was listening to on the bus, and it cut out on me when Oscar Gonzalez hit a home run. But so yesterday was not a good day for Cleveland baseball fans. But we have hope in baseball.
Yes, there's still hope in baseball. But boy, what a disaster it was. I was talking before we went on how in the last 23 years since the Cleveland Browns have come back, they beat Bill Belichick once. So all these people say, oh, yeah, including Mary Kay Cabot, who knows football and Browns pretty darn well. She predicted that the Browns would win this game.
Well, you know, these people who follow the Browns, and it's hard to be objective. Really, it is. You know, they if you weren't objective, if you were objective, I don't know how much information the team would give you or how you would be able to get to. So, yeah, I think the Browns are going to win. It's a pretty safe position to take if you are a journalist who covers the team.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they're journalists, but they're reporters.
Yeah.
And they're kind of a combination of both, columnist and reporter. But I didn't get to see the game because I was on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
But the plane had the
game day
thing, you know, they switch back and forth all the different games. So I was watching all the on the plane because you can get the web on American Airlines, but just their web. And so it was the red zone. That was what they call it, the red zone.
Okay.
So I knew it wasn't going well.
Yeah.
Because every time they would cut in and show New England doing this and that. But
well, Cody Brissett, basically, he had his regular game.
He came back to earth.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why he's not starting.
He's a backup catcher. He's a backup. He's a backup QB.
I remember the Hedges' first name now. Austin Hedges.
Austin Hedges, sure.
There. Whew. It came back to me. I knew it all along. I knew you couldn't.
You were testing me, and I failed once again.
Oh, get back to the game.
Get back to the game, yeah.
Yeah, he threw interceptions.
Two interceptions, and it was the first time he hadn't thrown it in the last 3 minutes of the game. He threw one in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And one in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And each
one. He fumbled, didn't he? Didn't he fumble,
and,
too?
That was a concern that I said up front, that he had less interceptions than Baker Mayfield, but he had more fumbles.
Yeah. What struck me was New England was playing their third-string quarterback, Zappe.
Third-string quarterback. He was a rookie, and he was a fourth-round draft pick.
He was out of, like, Houston Christian College.
Something like that.
Yes. And
I guess Bill Belichick, who is also the general manager, was impressed with how he won games.
Yeah, and Mac Jones was a light scratch for...
But they didn't know...
It was only possible, but
I think they knew ahead of time.
Yeah, they were just playing with the Browns until they absolutely had to give up.
Gee, Bill Belichick wouldn't do that, would he?
So a third-string quarterback.
Over 300 yards. No interceptions.
301 yards.
I thought it was 309, but it could be 300.
I'm reading the exact figure. Now, maybe you want to put extra.
No. That's fine.
And 258 for Cleveland. What happened to the running game? I mean, the running game.
They didn't even attempt it. They knew that Bill Belichick was going to work to stop the run, so they didn't even try it.
Why? Why? We got the two best running quarterbacks in the NFL, and you're going to stop because they're going to target them?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and he had four carries in the fourth quarters all. Four. I think he only carried it like 12 times, something like that.
I don't know. I think I didn't see the whole game, but the fans are just going ballistic over.
Yeah, talk about booing. Oh my goodness. That team earned it. That team earned every boo they got.
Yeah. I mean, they were favored by three.
Which is home field.
Yeah, they were favored by 3 points. But
Nick Chubb only had four touches in the fourth quarter.
So the coach.
And the other head of the monster, they had him out on the side as basically a wideout.
A Cooper? Or Hunt?
No, Hunt. They didn't have him running the ball. They had him over as a receiver.
So they thought they were going to fool Belichick.
They were going to fool Bill Belichick.
Yeah, who is now tied for all-time wins with
second place of all time.
With George Halas, right?
Yes, George Halas, only behind, only some like 20-some games behind the leader of all times, which is Don Shula.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So.
An Ohio boy.
And that's shocking to me. I didn't know that our game plan is not to use our best two tools in the offense.
Yeah, we won't use them.
No, we won't use them.
That'll fool them.
That'll fool Bill Belichick, who's been around forever.
And yet this, even by planning on a passing game like that, and not knowing what they were, you know, who they were going to have, but the defense allowed that many points, that many yards. I forget how many yards it was. I'm sure it's here.
They had two interceptions they got.
Finished 21 of 45. Brissett finished 21 of 45 with 266 yards, two interceptions, and one fumble. And every turnover they had turned into points.
Yeah.
Were turned into points for the...
Well, the time of possession is unbelievable. I mean, they had 11 more minutes of possession than the Browns.
That's because the Browns kept giving them the ball.
Here, take it. What happened to this defense, too? I mean, I saw the guys...
We haven't had defense. We had defense one game, and that was against the Steelers. And the Steelers are so bad that St. Ignatius could probably have beat them at that point.
They beat the Buccaneers.
Yeah. Tom Brady was busy yelling at his linemen.
I saw that. Yeah. If you are a Browns fan, this you've got to be wondering. I mean, realistically, they thought this team was going to be playoff caliber. Now maybe they'll come back. I doubt it.
You know, and listening to some other people in the media talk about it, says their talent is far much more what they have than what they're producing. Yeah. And especially our defense.
That's coaching.
We have like a top 5 to 10 defense, but right now they're ranked close to 27, 28.
Yeah.
And the talent is there. So if you have all this talent and you're giving up all this runs and scores and passes and missed tackles, who is that on?
Yeah, it's on the defense. It's Joe Woods. And they're wide open.
They're wide open.
The receivers they don't have a guy who makes fantastic play over the shoulder with the guy's hand stretched out. They're what? You and I could even have caught some of those passes, maybe.
Yeah.
That's how wide open they were.
Yeah, some of the Brissett passes.
Jacoby.
When you look at some of his passes, I mean, you got Amari Cooper diving up and down and all over the place to catch those. So his percentage is only better because of a couple of his receivers doing some amazing catching.
Njoku made a nice catch from the highlights I saw. Amari Cooper made a fantastic catch.
Yeah.
But I can imagine at the end of the game what the fans were doing. I mean, they had to be booing.
I got news for you. It was amazing. They showed a blimp view. It was like 6 minutes left in the game. There were more people filing out going over the bridge than there were in the stands at that point.
Yeah. Well, what's changed? Really? I mean, it's same old.
You know, and all this blame that was going on Baker. Now, guess what? Baker's been horrid. He's the lowest rated starting quarterback in the league. You know,
he's hurt too.
And he is hurt now. I don't even know if I don't think he played this weekend.
No. And you still have Darnold hurt too. So, in Carolina we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, he was hurt but at the beginning of the season. So even though Baker had been named, he was, and it had earned it that Darnold was already out anyway.
Well, poor guy has been in how many different systems? And
both of them have.
Yeah.
Both Darnold and, because every year they would fire their offensive coordinator in the Jets.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened here.
Yeah. Jets are on fire.
Jets found some kind of stability somewhere.
Yeah.
The Jets and the Giants and Miami.
Yeah. Well, Miami lost, but they're hurting on quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
They've gone through two quarterbacks now.
But they had a guy on the radio when I was coming in this morning that he does the sports corner, Lorraine. Papers.
Lorraine. Yeah.
And he says, well, I wish I can offer some optimism. And the only thing I could come up with is other teams in our division aren't doing great either. So that gives us – so when you're hoping other teams are not going to do as well, and that's your basis for optimism, wow. And when Watson comes back in December, he's going to be as rusty as, you know, a New England gate in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And it's going to take him a while, too.
And his first game back is in Houston. They should never have agreed to let him come back for Houston simply because the verbal abuse that man is going to be taking on the scoreboard from the fans, from local media and things like that, you know, and you can do what you can to block it out, but you know what? You can't block all that out. You can't do it.
So the Browns got two tough games coming, two very tough games.
Yeah.
The Bengals look like they've got their act together.
Act together, yeah.
Yeah, they beat a very good team. I forgot right off the top.
They beat New Orleans.
Yeah. The Giants, right?
To the Giants, yeah.
But the Giants
have really come across
this
year.
Team. They almost beat them. So,
and they've actually, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but where we've had essentially a much easier schedule, especially in the first four games, the Ravens have had nothing but head slam to head slam to head slam to head slam.
Yeah.
And
now they get the Browns.
Well, so they get a week off.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes when you're away from the booing and everything, you play better. I don't know. But, you know, Baltimore clearly will be the favorite.
And Baltimore will be home.
I would think by 6 points at least, I would think be...
Yeah, I don't know what the odds are just yet.
We don't have them yet, but it's just the defense is horrid. It's just horrid. And Garrett got hurt yesterday, from what I understand.
He did get hurt towards the end of the game. The way he tackled, he ended up on his shoulder and did not return to the game. Now, it wasn't anything serious, apparently, but it was an injury that took him out. Now, he did get the record-setting sack he needed.
For the team. Franchise history, right?
Yeah, right. So he's a half a game up on, I forget who it was that had.
I don't know.
It's actually less than that because the sack wasn't even a statistic till much later.
I don't know. I don't know how much that accident has contributed to anything being aggravated. I mean, if he got a bruised shoulder during that accident and he landed on it, that could have...
During the tackle. Know, he took the guy down but in the backfield. But so here it is. He came back to the half... He came in half sack behind Clay Matthews.
Okay.
For the official team sack record. That's the spot that's been... he's been in since the Jets loss. Garrett broke the record with 47 seconds left in the first quarter when he came in and knocked the ball free from Zappi's hand as he tried to pass. The ball squirted 6 yards forward where Garrett's teammate John Johnson III recovered. The play was initially reviewed. I guess it would be initially reviewed, but stood. The play gave Garrett 62.5 sacks for his career. Matthew's official record is 62, but that only takes into account of the ones recorded starting in 1982, the year the sack was first kept as an official stat by the NFL. Unofficial sacks leader is Bill Glass, who had 77.5 from 1962 to 68, and Matthew's unofficial total rises to 75 if his first four seasons from 1978 to 81 are included.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, he's officially in quotes, but he could very well surpass all these.
He will if he
stays here long enough. Yeah.
Well, he's here for another 2 or 3 years at least. That's contract extension last year, I believe. If he stays
healthy
and doesn't drive as fast as he should.
And you know what? That could have contributed to this as well.
That's what
it certainly contributed to his not playing as well. His first game back from that, So
it's just, I think Stefanski's in deep trouble if he doesn't turn this. I'm surprised that the doofuses haven't told the general managers to say, you know, get rid of this guy. And it's not necessarily Joe Woods. The guys aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, but there's obviously confusion.
Okay, then is it far too complicated for them.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, it must be if everybody's missing where they're supposed to be and not where they are.
I know Ward wasn't in yesterday.
No, he was not. But here's the thing. They get all these guys that are so great at one-on-one, and then they put them in a system that doesn't work with them.
No.
And that is definitely a defensive issue.
It is.
A defensive coaching issue.
But if they continue on this spiral downwards, and let's face it, they're one field goal. Oh, I missed that game when I was away where they had, who were they playing? They playing the Buccaneers? Who were they playing?
Chargers.
The Chargers. And the Chargers screwed up by going for fourth down.
I couldn't understand that. Yeah. I said, I know their feeling was, well, you know, we get these 2 or 3 yards. And then they can't stop us because they had no more timeouts.
Yeah. So,
but if you don't get it, guess what? You give it to them in your own territory.
I'm sure you talked about it last week, but
I did.
I was amazed because I was following it on my phone. You know, I said, what happened? And they lost. I didn't know how they lost, but until I read the paper, he missed this field goal by a foot.
And it was a 54-yarder again.
Yeah.
You know, John was complaining about that in the station here, and he says, well, I said, look, a 54-yard isn't a chip shot. Now, the one he missed earlier in the game was a 39-yarder. That's a chip shot.
He missed that one, too.
He missed that one, too, earlier in the game.
This guy is supposed to be the best kicker since Len Dawson.
Yeah, I know.
And I talked to my brother shortly after. He called me after the Guardians won that game against Tampa. And the day after the Browns lost, he said, this guy's he's not he's doomed if he keeps this up.
Yeah. And but you know what? Phil Dawson was talking to press. He says, you realize my first season here, I missed 17 field goals. It was after that that I figured out the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Because this stadium has got the swirl and the winds that swirl around because of the lake. And that's why he had, there's one single flag up just on the pole. He had them put that up there. He says, because that, I don't care what the other flags are saying and what's happening, that's the true indicator of what the wind is doing at that moment.
All I know
that's one of the things that made him the great kicker he was.
It had to be a devastating blow to the Browns to lose that game.
Well, but again, that was a game, I don't even think, again, you can't depend on somebody more than 50 yards to win you the game like that. Okay, so they lucked out the first game, but he hasn't been quite as lucky since. What lost them the game was in that fourth quarter, within 3 minutes of the end of the game, Jacoby Brissett threw the interception into the end zone.
Yeah.
Because if they had done that, it would have taken a touchdown to get ahead, not a field goal.
Mm-hmm. Also, on Sunday's game, didn't they go fourth again? Down there close to the end zone, went fourth and something.
They did,
And didn't get it?
Right.
That drives me insane.
Every time he gets a fourth down, pretty much, he wants to.
He wants to go for it. You got to put points on the that's how you win.
That's how you win.
By scoring points.
So, yep. And
more points than the other.
We've got, we're going to Baltimore next week. A tough game. Then back home to play Cincinnati. Probably an even tougher game because Cincinnati finally seems to have found themselves. Yeah. Their defense really was what was killing them, except that, you know, the first couple of games, it seemed like Burroughs had no idea what he was doing. But it could have been he had no support or anything.
Yeah, protection. So, anyway. It was a sad day on Sunday for both baseball, but let's cross our fingers. When we get together next week, we'll be in the league championship series. And that'll be fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, so. There was something else I was going to bring up here, but you know what? One, I don't remember what it was, and two, we don't have time.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. I got to come up with
a... All right.
It's not going to be a very good one, but...
But...
I'm an archaeologist.
Okay.
My career is in ruins.
I like that.
All right.
And I'll hopefully we might have some optimism about the hometown Browns next week, but I don't think so. But let's hope that. I'm really looking forward. Win, lose, I'm looking forward to this game tonight.
Yes. And you're looking forward to the yodeling report.
I am looking forward to that. I'll bring in my Judy Canova for you. We'll see everyone next week right back here on Sports Sidebar.